This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. As part of the Damansara Performing Arts Center Arts Festival 2016, the dance folks at the center, under the artistic director J.S. Wong, have collaborated with Ben Reaper, a choreographer, and Felicitas Kleiner, a dramaturg, to create two contemporary dances. Ben and Felicitas are here under the sponsorship of the Goethe Institute Malaysia. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, because we don't have time, we're going to jump right into it. You have choreographed a dance called Ha Ha Ha. Quite obvious, it's about laughter. What suggested that you wanted to do a dance about laughter?
I was observing the performers I'm working with here, the Malaysian performers, and actually I found out that laughing is very important for the group and that the laughing is very expressive. It's very physical, the way how they laugh, and then although the rest was quite shy or preserved. So that was interesting for me to see, and then I started to be interested in laughing itself because it's so many things. It's a language, it's a music, it's a sound, it's a connecting element. So
Felicitas, you are a dramaturg, and often I hear of dramaturgs in the domain of theatre. What role do you play in dance?
Okay, it's also for me a new step because I come from a theater, like you
background.
Know it, background. And I met Ben when I curated a festival in 2014, and we were in a museum, and Ben was there and did a piece for about 1 week, a durational piece, and he got over this gap of performance, theater, dancing. It wasn't clear. It was a piece by his own or a special way of ephemeral body art, I would say. And I was really interested in it. And my position in a way as a dramaturg is to be a partner in dialogue.
So what kinds of questions did you as a dramaturg, Felicitas, raise for Ben? What kinds of questions did Ben raise for you to help him answer?
I don't know if it's a specific question. It's just we have the space to reflect on things without any goal. It's rather that we spend time together and then we talk about it. And just for me, for example, by just having someone who is thinking very critical about everything and me having to articulate my questions, my doubts, my wishes and all that already makes me clearer about everything.
What were some of the things you guys talked about that you kind of bounce off each other?
For example, now we were then thinking, like, what does laughing actually mean? What is laughing? And that we found out that laughing really suits into my overall research of ephemeral arts, choreographing ephemeral processes, choreographing atmospheres, which I'm very interested in at the moment, that it really fits into it. And then we started to talk about it and find out things and put together what actually it means and what it could be.
I think the questions came out of the process. So when we came here, we didn't want to have a finished concept to bring it here and say, okay, let's do this and that about Asian dancers or something. So I knew where Ben was on the point or what he was interested in. And then we came here and I helped him to reflect on what the dancers were doing or what we found out. And we were searching for a universal language to have to deal with. So then we came out of this laughter and the questions came to this.
So while laughter is universal, what can you say about the laughter at least expressed by this group? That might be different from laughter as expressed, even though universal, by the Germans that you grew up with and encounter in Germany.
Yeah, it's a bit hard to differentiate because I think it's also every single person is different. Already these six performers in the work are laughing differently and having a different approach. So on one side, you see very clearly, you see body language, which for me, like you see body expression, because laughing is a physical act. So this is interesting for me as someone who is dealing with body as a artistic material. And then, but on this same side, it is something universal and it is even something very contagious. So not only the group will start to laugh after some time, but also me as an observer, I'm starting to laugh.
That was the point we were, before we came here, Ben was working on, for example, how can we connect to the audience and producing an effect. And laughing is this becoming that there's no border between the stage and the audience. And when you try to produce laughing artificially, then there becomes this moment when it switched into real laughing. And then the audience, or we laughed a lot, of course, during the rehearsal.
one would assume that laughter is not particularly artistic because we all do it. It does not require you to go into a dance school to learn the vocabulary. So in this kind of a performance, what kind of vocabulary would you come up with so that it becomes an aesthetic expression of laughter?
This is exactly the interesting research we had now in the last weeks, that we were trying to categorize what are the parameters of laughing. And then we found out some things like, we found out some categories like, whom are you laughing at? Are you laughing about someone or about something? Or are you laughing together? Or do you make someone laugh? Or laughing can be also humiliating. It can be disrespectful. And it's a music, it's a sound. So we try to somehow find a language in this laughing and create choreography of sound, which also will create a choreography of the bodies.
I guess because we are on radio, we cannot quite see. What would be the choreography of the body in laughter that would also fulfill your aesthetic sensibilities? And again, it must also transfer to the audience, not just the sound of the laughter, but the aesthetics of it.
I think what strikes me a lot about this laughing, that laughing is something like a victory of the body over the intellect. And this is something pure choreography for me. This is really my understanding of dance and choreography, that somehow the nature of the body and all the non-verbal, all the things we somehow perceive but we cannot really verbalize, to talk about this or to work on these processes. So that's the point for me in it.
While I understand it intellectually, I'm still grappling with this whole notion of what might be the aesthetics of laughter.
Aesthetics can be that I'm also working on the sounds. We are just checking the sounds and working on the edges of producing laughing and laughing for real, and then also making it a music. This is the aesthetics of sounds, I would say, and the aesthetics of body. Of course, I'm also working on that level and forming the choreography. So the whole thing is on one side very anarchic, because once it starts, you cannot stop it.
That's true.
And I think that's the victory of the body. And on the other side, this is now somehow is so difficult, and why the dancers have to be in super control, because at the same time, they still have to follow the score and they have to somehow follow the structure. And this is why you need to go to dance school, to your question in the beginning, to be able to do that, to be fully present with your body and your laughter, and at the same time have something in your back head to somehow follow the thing.
It's a whole balancing act throughout this dancing. If the body's going to take over, then the body will take over, but you still have to perform those dance steps as choreographed.
Exactly.
Felicitas, you were also a participant in a JS's choreography called Faces.
Yes, I gave him some advices because JS is also one of the dancers in Ha Ha Ha. So we met a lot of times and we had many talks after the rehearsal. And then he asked me, hey, can you please give me some advices for my new piece? I'm interested in this, having a dialogue partner like a dramaturg. And then there wasn't really much time to go into his rehearsals, but he made some YouTube videos he sent me via email, and then we had two Skype conferences, and now I had visited his rehearsal and gave him some advices.
You know, through this collaboration between a Malaysian choreographer and artist director over here, and with the two of you who are coming over here under the sponsorship of Goethe Institute, the German arts folks are behind this, does this seem to suggest that in some ways artists can cross borders and help break the kind of barriers that seem to be so right now so clearly present in so many different countries? Can art save us? Can art save humanity?
I do believe so, actually. It's somehow a little bit naive, maybe, but I have the belief that actually it could, if we could maybe, I mean, save, of course, I'm saying it. I don't know if this is anyway somehow the parameter, but somehow I do believe, because I do believe we have a role model in this, how we go into these different cultures. And for me, this is always the essential, that I'm meeting people in a different context. I'm getting involved with them. And then I start to start to understand but it's on a very different level. It's not on an intellectual level. It's on a level of doing some things, sharing something, and then coming into sympathy. And then you start to understand each other. And this is somehow what should happen. So in this sense, going into a different world, but being connected to local people, this always makes the big change.
Yes, in a way, I think it influenced the art or the artist in an important way. But I'm not quite sure if we should put this pressure on art to say it has to help us. But in a way, because we can see how people are working, living, laughing on the other part of the world, I think it's really important for us then to go back to Germany or wherever we are working, or bringing people with us and all the experience. And I think it will be in the works and open them up and tell people at Germany about the world.
But I do believe that because somehow we're having this globalization and people getting rather afraid of all the information they're having, because it's only very abstract and it's not for real. But if more people had the chance, like I have, meeting so many different people personally and then coming to this understanding, I think, I don't have a model for that, but I think this would help everybody. You just lose the fear because you come into contact.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ben Riper, choreographer, and Felicitas Kleiner, dramaturg. They have been collaborating with J.S. Wong, the artistic director of DPEC's dance company, to create two contemporary dances which will premiere at the DPEC Arts Festival. These dances, titled Dua Creations, one is called Ha 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 and the other one is Faces, will be on stage in the Black Box Wednesday, July 27th and Thursday, July 28th at 8:30 p.m. Tickets are priced at 58 with concessions at 48. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Hing, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.